the show running up all things Zwift from the last week. We talk racing, we talk events, we talk tech, we talk fashion. We're live on Twitch, YouTube, X, and where else? Twitch, YouTube, X, Facebook. We're live on Facebook as well. We're going to be, today is episode number 90 on this Wednesday, April 10th, 2024. Well, it's actually 11th now as we're starting after midnight, my time. I think this is the first time we're actually in the same day, I think, at the start of the show, as I'm in the US of A and Anna is in New Zealand. Today on The Wrap, we're going to be talking about the Paris-Roubaix Femmes Evag Zwift and how it is related to Zwift racing, as well as how awesome the racing was with Paris-Roubaix. Talking about kids' accounts and some stuff that's popped up on the forums, as well as some Facebook posts wondering what's going on with kids' accounts over at Zwift. The spring training program that's been announced, as well as the women's racing series. There's also the upcoming Super Tri E World Championships powered by Zwift on April 13th, and that's going to be an interesting one. Usually an extremely successful event, actually, in the triathlon world. We've also got a jersey pick of the week, well, jersey and garage pick of the week from the Big Spin. It is the French countryside, the beret. And I don't even know how to say that other one. What is that? Tournesol? Tournesol. That's the tour of the sun or something along those lines. I mean, soul is sun, tour. I don't know. Maybe. But I'm not exactly sure. Anyway, well, that's the jersey pick of the week. We'd love to know what you think of the jersey and the hat rated 1 to 10. Let us know in the chat. Also, this is a podcast. If you didn't know, the audio version is downloadable anywhere that you do download your podcast. Search The Wrap. And Zwift should find it real quickly. You can also head on over to ZwiftCommunityLive.com/podcast and find all of the episodes there. We do upload pretty quickly after we are live. You can also find the forums on ZwiftCommunityLive.com for submission of any kind of fashion or NPC stories if you do want to submit those for the show. As usual, let's get right into it, though. What have we been up to for the last week, Zwift-related or training-related? I'm going to throw it over to Anna for that.
Okay. Firstly, Le Tournesol means the sunflower, so we can go into that when we look at the jersey.
I was close.
It was pretty close. I had to Google that one, actually. That wasn't from my recollection of French words. But what have I been doing? Well, in the total near term was the playoffs for ZRL yesterday, which was actually a ton of fun. I was really putting it out to the team, like, if we don't want to do it, let's just not do it. Like, we don't have to get there, because a lot of people have gone outside. But the team was pretty stoked. There are only four of us, unfortunately, so we're never going to win. But I've put there in the notes, and we might talk about it a bit when we go into the Paris-Roubaix Femme. But what I've found, I've watched like all of the women's classics races this season, even the kind of random ones that happen on like a Wednesday or Thursday afternoon. And there've been some like amazing tactics. And I found the tactics in the classics races for the women, I think, are quite emulatable. That's probably not a word. But in some of these Zwift races, like I looked at what was happening and I was like, you could pull that off in a Zwift race. Like, that would work. I get that. So I'll delve into that a little bit when we talk about Paris-Roubaix and some of the other classics. Got TTT that I've been doing. We had the World Cup last week where we like came third by like 17 seconds or something. It was really close. I went out for a road ride, actually. Not gravel, not Zwift, but out on the road on a road bike, riding around with a friend. So we rode around for a couple of hours on your own road bike. On my own road bike.
Okay. Yeah. Just checking if there was a new bike involved here or not.
There wasn't. I have been trialing, and I'll talk about my journey with this, is the Wahoo Kicker Shift bike. I've been trialing that. So I guess there's a new bike in the house, but whether it stays in the house is a different story.
Well, what I've been up to, I've been jumping into random races to keep fitness. I actually raced the KISS 100 over the weekend, and I surprised myself. I Like, I thought for sure there'd be no fitness in my body, but the hashtag at the end of my stream from Gabby actually was Big Spin Fitness. And I guess doing 30-minute all-out efforts like over and over again, almost daily, kind of keeps you in okay shape. Like, I mean, essentially, I was just doing threshold efforts in the big spin over and over and over again, or SST, like, multiple times a day, you know? So I guess, like, you know, there, it was almost like I was peaking, you know, like, well, back off the hours and bring this intensity up. And then jumped into, it wasn't exactly a really, really difficult race, though. We hit, what was the course? It was the big, something like Foothills. I think it was Foothills. You know, we hit, or something, whatever. It was a lot of the major climbs outside of the Watopia Mountain. And we ended up finishing on the Volcano KOM, actually. We hit it twice. I won the race from a tactical move point of view, though. And they didn't make the race hard enough. I was on my limit multiple times where if they would have just made the race harder, but they just didn't. Like, we were doing kind of like, the way I went into these climbs was thinking, okay, it's just like TTT. We do 5 to 6 all the way to the top. And if you just hold on at 5, and they just kind of did that. Like, it was like a group ride almost. Like, it was a hard Saturday morning chain gang group ride kind of a thing. You know, nobody was really attacking at orange numbers or anything like that. There was no craziness. And so essentially, like, if you give me 3 minutes VO2, that's my wheelhouse. Like, it's mountain bike wheelhouse. You know what I mean? Like, and so they kind of like, it was almost like a perfect setup. There's this one section on the Volcano KOM, that one flat section in the middle of it when you go through the middle of the volcano.
Through the volcano. Yeah.
Yeah. And essentially, it was like somebody kind of put a dig into there a little bit. And then another rider pulled me up to the two who were off the front. It was Christopher Dawson and Jatel Farup, I believe it was. And then another Viking rider, Stolzmo, he pulled me to the other two at like 46, 48 kilometers per hour. And I was like, on the other side of this is just the start of a climb. And I've got all this speed. And they all went to like 3 watts per kilogram. I was like, I'm just going to roll through this and see what happens because this is my opportunity. So 7 watts per kilogram for a minute and then continue on at threshold. And that was it. It was just over. Like, because I immediately got like 5 seconds because of that free lead out because I just kept the speed while they slowed down. I mean, that was kind of like all she wrote. There wasn't really. But I mean, I think also a couple of them didn't respond like in a way that was like, somebody else chased that. I'm not chasing that. You chased that. You know, it's that end of the race situation.
I attacked like 5 times in our ZRL race and the pack behind was so motivated. It was like, you never got more than like 10 seconds and then they're pulling like 5 watts a kg on the front to try and reel you back in. So yeah, it really depends on what, and I saw your commentary with Dave for the ZRL America's East. And I know the numbers are a little bit down for the men and women just with people going outside, but it does make it really tactical because when you've got a group behind, which is just your team and another team, well, the other team's going to work. But if you've got a third team, a fourth team, a fifth team, that's when, yeah, people will look and be like, I'm not going to pull that. Well, I'm not going to pull that. And so they don't pull. But yeah, it was really hard to like run tactics on there. But yeah, super. Should I go into like the classic stuff? Or do you have more that you were going through other than your kiss?
You know, I mean, mainly just the KISS 100 and then jumping into some Z Racing. I want to talk a little bit about the Z Racing course. I didn't have it in the show notes, actually, but they just released that Glasgow Crit Reverse as event only. And maybe it's not event. Yeah, I think it is event only right now, but you can just like go out on the Glasgow course and turn around so you can do it. But I really, really enjoy that course, actually. It's
because we talked about it last week, right? So what happened when you did the kind of kick the rollers into the KOM? Like, tell me what happened.
Yeah. So, well, when we watched it for commentary on Monday, it was kind of just nonstop speed, like essentially just and because the groups are so large in the Z racing on Monday, nobody could really get away, so it was just nonstop attacks with enough speed and roll through a lot of sections that people were able to hang on if they were, you know, at that upper echelon of whatever that category is. You ended up with a group and a very tactical sprint in the end because it's a 180 degree turn essentially into a sprint uphill champion sprint. So the sprints were very tactical, very interesting, especially with steering on. In my race, it was a little bit different because there was a lot less riders. I think we had like 8 A's show up. And so maybe it was a little more than that. Maybe somewhere like 8 to 15, something like that. And so the opportunity for a breakaway was a lot more open because there wasn't so many, as many people to chase things down. It was really about reserving the power-ups and using them at the later section of that KOM. There was an initial punch up the reverse Clyde kicker. You know, because they got that wall, the Kaminsky wall, maybe you'd call it now at this point, that, you know, the way that he did his attack on the other, going down it. But going up it, people would attempt something, but there's enough, you know, downhill and rollers that you can kind of hang on. I found that it was a feather power up very early with how long it lasts now, actually on the downhill into the final bump. Carry a ton of speed through there, and we were immediately able to get gaps. And then if you got it was feather and arrow. So if you got an arrow over the top of Clyde kicker, then you hit your arrow on the downhill, and we're doing 62 kilometers per hour. You're gone. So we ended up in it with a couple of breaks. It got brought back 2 or 3 times, and then finally myself and Jaden Yager, actually, who's a Masters National Champion TT. The guy weighs like 80 kilograms. On the downhill, it felt like he was doing 7 watts per kilogram when he was doing 5. Like, I'm like just trying to hang on barely. He could have broke me. He was on a TT bike with a 56 tooth, just like in training mode. So he just goes to the front and just hammers. And I was able to outsprint him, I think, only because he was on a TT bike, though. Like, in real life, he was on a TT bike.
Yeah. Oh, not in game. Yeah, not I was in like, game. Not in what? Game. No. Oh my God.
Like in real life, he's training specifically for his TTs, in Zwift, doing multiple events back to back. So, really cool course. It's actually one of my favorites now. As far as like, you know, it's something new. You know what I mean? So you kind of like, you get attracted to that something new, and there's new tactics can play out. I mean, you know, so many of these courses so well after racing them so many times, it's kind of nice to get something fresh that's got different timings on it, you know, really, and trying new things out.
It's like when they did Crit City reverse. It's the same kind of thing. Like, you know the roads, but then when you do it reverse, it's so different. I'll be excited to try that one, actually, because I feel like I really – that course is really funny for me because I look at it and I go, oh, I don't want to do it, which I think it's actually the third playoffs race. It's Glasgow Crit.
Glasgow Crit, both directions, points race. So they're doing one race and then a second race. Five laps.
For playoffs?
Yeah, for playoffs as points races. So it's 10 laps total of Glasgow Crit course, but one in one direction and one in the other direction.
Oh my God, is that public knowledge? I did not know
that. Don't look at the website. I actually had to look it up, actually. I believe it's public knowledge. I hope it is. I'm pretty sure it's public knowledge. Race 3 and race 4, but race 3 and 4 are on the same day. Glasgow Crit Circuit, 5 laps. Glasgow Crit Circuit Reverse is the second race, also 5 laps. But
oh my gosh.
Now, interesting, FAL and FTS segments are listed one time on race 3, but not on the second. There's power-ups on race 3. Maybe this might just be a issue when it comes to what's listed here and just a mistake, an editor's mistake. But maybe, I don't know, like, is the second one not? No, it says points race, though. So I reckon
it's an editor. I think it's an editing mistake. When did this happen? How have I missed this? Like, it was always just 5 laps regular way round, and now they're adding the reverse.
Are you seeing this, right? You're seeing this, right?
I'm seeing it. Yeah.
Just making sure. Okay, cool.
No, that's cool. I kind of have a funny relationship with this course because I look at it and I'm always like, boring. But then every time I do it, it's exciting and like kind of fun. So, that's really like jazzed me up because I was really low motivation for playoffs. But yeah, the race yesterday was awesome. So that's going to be really, really cool, actually. I'm excited.
I want to get into a little bit of your head about what was going on there, especially off the front with Rathwell and Penner.
Let's go into it. Yeah,
because I want to, like, we did all our commentary on it, you know, and like we spent a good amount of time on the broadcast with it because it was, there's some pretty good action going on there, honestly.
Yeah. So, okay. Like I said, I've been watching the classics, the women's races, and there was a race. I want to say it was like Brut de Pena or Omloop or something. It was one of the midweek ones, not a huge, it wasn't Paris-Roubaix. It wasn't Flanders, but, there was a situation where two riders, so there was a Trek rider behind Elisa Longo-Borghini, and she was with, Lotta Capecchi. So they were two behind, like they were in the chase, just two of them, or there might have been a third sort of random person. But then up the road was Sharon Van Enroy and I want to say Mariana Voss. And what I found super interesting, and at the time I'm like, what are you doing, Elisa? So the two were up the front, and then Elisa started to attack and try and like get up, but not bridge, like just increase her pace. And I was like, why are you pulling Lotta Capecchi up? But then when you watched what happened, I was like, that is really smart. So while she was trying to push up and get up and not bridge, just trying to get up to the front, obviously on the radio, the person is telling, who I think was Mariana Voss, Elisa's trying to catch up. Elisa's trying to catch up. So Mariana got off of Sharon Van Enroy's wheel, who is Longo-Borghini's teammate, and started drilling it off the front, tiring herself out. So she started tiring herself out. And I was like, that is really smart. Because there's that kind of golden rule of like, don't chase down a teammate. But actually that created some behaviors that were really good. So I was like, in this race, let's just throw all these tactics I want to do. So
Voss is on the front drilling it because someone's chasing that's a teammate. Don't let her catch. So it's a tactic that has nothing to do with who's – it's not Mariana Voss paying any attention who she's with. She's paying attention to the radio going, I know what's coming.
Yeah. And so she ends up burning matches while the other teammate sits in. And when you first look, you're like, why is a teammate chasing a teammate? But then, so we did this. So we first off started with the good old attack, counterattack. So I attacked first. This was straight off the bat. And then I'm like on the radio being like, who's going to counter me? Who's going to counter me? M, you counter. And then M counters over the top. And then we chase her. I was like, who's next? Who's next? I'm like, Megan, you're up. You do it. She's like, oh, I don't know. I was like, no, just do it. Just do it. As soon as we get on, just attack. She attacked. Lieberman got on her wheel and they broke free. And I'd say the only mistake we made is when Penna went, none of us got on her. I should have got on her quicker and then dragged up or neutralized the move. But then what happened was Megan's up the front, but she's only like 15 seconds up the road. So I was drilling it on the front to keep the gap at 15 seconds. So I was like, we're going to do 15 seconds and M. When we hit that log drag, you're going to attack and try and bridge. And what happened is exactly what happened in that classics race. M attacks and is trying to bridge. She doesn't get there, but the reason she didn't is Rachel Lieberman jumped on the front and had to ride at like 5 to 6 watts a kg. And Megan just sat on her wheel being like, cool, thank you. So even though you don't bridge up, you tire out the rider who's trying to stay away. I was like, oh, this is amazing. Like, so I think watching some of these women's classics, the men's classics, to be fair, have been like Mathieu van der Poel doing 60 kilometer raids off the front. So it's not super tactical, but in the women's one, some of these tactics.
I don't know about that. Now, the setup to get him there. Oh, was
absolutely,
phenomenal.
Yeah. So,
like, if you watch the race, but then, like, when he went, I was like, okay, I guess he's going at this point. But I mean, you got to give them their kudos for how they set him up to be there, because he definitely had teammates working until that.
It's not the point I'm making. I guess the point I'm making is in the last, from what I've seen, in the last 20 to 30 K of a classics race are tactics that you can transfer to Zwift.
Ah, gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. So that's what I was saying with Mathieu van der Poel, like sure on Zwift, although I've never seen it because the races aren't long enough.
Well, Gabby
for you to drill
pulled
your whole...
that. Gabby pulled the, the Matthew Vanderpool this week in the Zwift Racing League, I think.
You kind of get what I mean? Like kind of that, I don't know what it is about the classics, but that last part I think you can do in-game. Like,
so did Will Loudon. I got a shout out to Will. Sorry, I know I'm totally derailing you a little bit right here, but like there were two riders who did the like, I'm just gonna go and see, and they made it work. They made it work. Yeah. You know, Will Loudon, and that I know of that we watched, and actually there might have been a few others. We'd love to hear about them actually if you do have any stories about breakaway situations or your ZRL in general. But go ahead. Sorry for interrupting you. Just wanted to clarify situations also to the men.
Yeah. And I think the course, like that course, Rolling Highlands, where there's a bit of punch, the fact it was a scratch race, the fact it was around 40 kilometers, so it's relatively long, it's not like a 20K race, is you can do some of these things. And the other thing I was thinking about is looking ahead to ZRLs, if they're going to keep going with some of these scratch races, you do really need to divide your team, like they do in a classics team. Like, if you looked at Paris-Roubaix, which was amazing, you had Lotta Kopecky, the classics rider and the protected rider, with the world's best sprinter in the chase pack. So Kopecky didn't have to do any work. And that's kind of like what you could do in Zwift, right? You could just get a teammate who's a really good rouleur to get ahead, get in a front pack, and then have your best sprinter sitting behind who doesn't have to sit on the front because they're like, well, my teammate's up the road. And then the teammate up the road doesn't have to sit on the front because they're like, oh, well, my sprinter's at the back for the finish. And so you're in this position like what the women's Paris-Roubaix was, where Kopecky could just sit on wheels and Wiebes could just sit on wheels. And then chances are one of them's going to win.
We've seen that a lot in the Rolling Highlands, actually. Across a ton of the racing, we saw so many breakaway attempts on Rolling Highlands, honestly. I was really interesting to see how they got chased back, to see how the ways in which, like you just said, big sprinters would sit in and just be patient, whereas there'd be a few off the front. One of the shout outs I really got to give too, when it comes to similar to Lotto in some ways though, because there were moments that Lotto Kopecky just took over the race and drilled the pace at the front to soften the legs, and people had to work to come back as a group to chase back and be a part of the front group until finally she just broke, you know, well, a few of them just broke everybody else, and it ended up in, you know, in a sprint in the end, you know, reduced, I wouldn't say reduced field in the breakaway. Now, similar, Team SZ this past week, I think they, out of all the teams in the ZRL that I noticed, were kind of the show up team. They really showed up seriously for the Zwift Racing League. And there was a breakaway in our second EMEA men's race, open race, I believe it was, where Bjorklund and Johan Norin went off the front together, Team SZ, and were working together for like a lap off the front. Mm. They got chased back by the pack. Norin sat in for like another lap until the final corkscrew, and with like a K to go, just went bonkers off the front. And he somehow, I've almost never seen this before on Rolling Highlands. If you go from right there, I don't know if I've ever seen someone hold off the pack in a full off gallop. And somehow this guy did it. He went like 6 watts per kilogram all the way to the bottom of the breakaway bray, and then went 9 and ended up with a bike length at the finish line against the whole pack. It was actually pretty amazing, which isn't exactly like any of the classics that we've seen. We haven't seen that happen at all as far as that last second, you know, being with an entire pack chasing them down. That would be amazing. I don't know if that'd be amazing, though. Sometimes I've thought about that on that Velodrome. Like it's a hard enough race, Paris-Roubaix, that you don't end up with a whole lot of riders at the same time on that Velodrome. Now, I haven't watched maybe enough Paris-Roubaix to know the history that, like, has there ever been where the pack is coming in and they've got another lap to go. And there's this huge pack that ends up swallowing up the winner. You know what I mean? That ends up being.
Yeah, I've not seen that either. And I think, I mean, again, like I've watched the last three women's ones and the men's, like I always just see it as, I guess because the roads are so narrow that it's been so selective up to that point that it seems like there's like
but
the kind of leads.
It could happen. It would be,
and yeah, like, it would be wild.
It would be so wild. Like, and then would teams help someone then? Like, you know what I mean? And like, how quickly could the split decisions happen too?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I don't know. I mean, last year was kind of crazy with Vanderpool coming in. And then just as he was coming out for his second lap, Jesper Philipsen came in with Wout van Aert on his wheel. And so they were kind of like almost riding weirdly
wasn't
together.
Something that happened there? I thought some little bit of...
Nah, Jesper just out-sprinted Wout. But yeah, I don't know. But anyway, it kind of got me excited watching, yeah, some of the coverage you had of the USA East and how those scratch races play out. And I think the like magic sauce here is like a course that's rolling with some interesting terrain. I'd also say like the Yorkshire courses would be similar, like something that just adds like a, just some terrain where there's a lot of places you could do stuff. Multi-lap as well. So you do like two or three laps of that same sort of course. So you get like a feel for like, oh, I'll trial this here. Okay, that worked. I'll do that again. And then around that 40 kilometer mark, I think some of the races that we've had in WTRL where it's like 20K, it just ends up being like this insane 20 kilometer smash fest, right? So yeah, it's a little magic sauce there. I think that Rolling Highlands, which I was a bit sort of disappointed with, to be honest. I was like, oh, Rolling Highlands, that's more of a TTT course. But actually when I started riding, I was like, oh no, this is fun. Like you can do some stuff here. It was great.
Yeah, it's got long enough false kind of flats, plus that corkscrew and breakaway bray that you can get away with a few things. I would say lap it up would be good, but they're just not quite long enough. As far as the comparison that you're making, lap it up works, yeah. But Seaside Sprint for only 21.8 kilometers, it's like we need three more laps, really. You know what I mean? Or
yeah.
Bridges and boardwalks, London Classic, two laps. I mean, it's...
They're too flat. It's got to be those little punchy climbs.
Seaside Sprint has the Essies in there. And you have the climb for Volcano. I've attacked pretty hard. We've done a KISS 100 on that, actually, for like 15 laps, I think it was, or something. And you had a lot of opportunity to... And plus, when you come out of the Essies on Seaside Sprint, it's an old Rebel route, actually. And you take that speed out of the Essies through the bridge sprint. And then out of that bridge sprint, you can come over the top into the dirt. And there's like a little bump after the sprint, actually, before you hit the dirt section by the Italian village that allows you to kind of extend yourself away from the rest of the pack pretty quickly because they're slowing down from the sprint at that exact same time. So it's an interesting one, actually. But it's only three laps. That's my point is like it's almost like you have to take it on like a tiny race breakaway with how short that race is going to be. You'd have to be fairly all. I mean, it's wacky watts if you want to actually.
Yeah, like even the I'm just looking at some courses here. The what was the one? It was in ZRL season, and you went up this first part of the epic, but then you took the left and then started going on the bypass route. So you didn't go all the way up the epic. That was amazing too, because it was
Oceanside or Ocean Cliffside. Yeah.
Ocean Lava Cliffside Loop, maybe. Again, those, I just think like, it's so funny. I used to be so into points races and I think now I am just so into scratch races because the motivations are there to get away and to do fun stuff. Whereas I think points, you're always just sort of playing it safe a little bit because you're like, well, I may as well just get FTS.
Yep. Yeah, there's a lot more safe playing and getting away is pretty difficult in those situations a lot of times. I don't know. I have to agree with you there that scratch racing is coming back alive in a lot of ways, I think, on Zwift. So I like that. I like that a lot personally, too. There's a lot more motivations in it. Another thing on relationship to the classics, I think that... Well, we'll just move on. We'll move on from that. So, okay. So this thing that you picked up on the kids' accounts, this is an interesting one. And I don't know if it's an actual goodbye to kids' free accounts or not, or what's happening there. But you noticed that on the forums, there was a post that said that there's no new kids' accounts being signed up. What's this all about?
Yeah, so I saw it on shout out to the PC Master Race Facebook page, where I saw it screenshotted. So it was kind of weird because it was a person saying that they'd wanted to create a kids account for my 12-year-old son. So like I use these for my kids, and quite a few of the kids who are part of our smart hubs around New Zealand are under 16, so they'll use these accounts as well. But they went to like set it up and there was like we hit a snag. So I'm not sure what that means, but like had a problem, I'm guessing. And then Zwift came through and said, at this time, we're no longer accepting consent form requests for under 16 child accounts. We appreciate this news will be disappointing, but we hope your child can find alternate ways to continue pursuing the joys of riding a bike. And then there's just kind of a ton of comments being like, this is disappointing. Well, this is sad. It just seems like a really odd place to kind of announce that. But then someone later on from the forum said that they'd gone on and just emailed support@zwift.com and had a renewal of the under 16 account. So I'm not quite sure where it's at, but I think from what I saw in a lot of comments, and I'm not in a position to know this, is that there's a lot of legalities, particularly in the United States, around under 16s in game. And there was actually a few comments that I saw around like, isn't this the perfect time to just restrict chat? You know, like what Indie Velo did a few weeks ago, which was like, you can have chat where you see everything, or you can have chat where you see this. And maybe you could just restrict the kids' account so that they see no chat unless it's
actually,
from...
You can't. So I don't know. You can't message kids' accounts and you can't follow them. And you can't, like, there's a lot of restrictions already around kids' accounts. Mm. I'm like, because I tried interacting with my kids and I couldn't. So when we were riding on Zwift, there was like a limitation, unless you like follow back or something along those lines. But yeah, I think that there's a lot of legality. I think that's really what it comes down to, and safety concerns and all kinds of stuff that comes up in that arena. At the same time, like, the ever optimistic and positive thinking Nathan is like, and also like huge advocate for junior cycling, put a lot of work into that space. And with, let's say my 16-year-old is like training specifically for the Nika series, the Wisconsin Offroad series. And I have her, I mean, we have a kid set up here just ready to go. That's a pretty big investment. And then all of a sudden that's just turned off. Like I would be, and how many are there out there that are like that? That like the parents don't actually, I mean, they're not probably not going to have that many, but I mean, regardless, like there's some out there, like the parents aren't really into this. Their kids into mountain biking or into cycling in some sort of way. They got them a Zwift set up that cost thousands of dollars, or at least a few hundred to $1,000. There's a whole space for it. And now the program, that's the program, you just can't even use it. I mean, that's a pretty, and so I think the reason why though is that we're seeing that maybe this is a guess. I don't have any other information at this point, but is that the renewal is like, well, these are the people who have already invested. We're not going to just take that away from them right now, but we're not signing up any new ones because it's difficult for us to handle with maybe new laws or something. And there's a grandfathering. I don't know. I'm wondering like, what that's about. Because and there's no official announcement. There's no nothing other than we're not signing up new accounts, but it seems from the forum post that already current accounts got renewals.
Yeah, and I think there's a second comment there from Zwift that says the program is being reviewed. There's no current changes to existing accounts, and any future changes that impact existing members will be communicated in advance. So I guess watch this space. A little bit disappointing, especially I see a comment here. It's like, sad, I just set up my kid's bike on an old trainer so my girls could imitate their mum. I was like, oh, that's like epic. Like, that's so cool.
I mean, what's going to happen, but really, for those that really want to use the program, you know, they'll just pay for they'll pay for it, and then they'll say they're a different age. I mean, that's what will end up happening.
Yeah.
Because if it's the also only problem, that you can't set up when you're younger, is that you'll, yeah, so it'll be a situation where there'll be a lot of fake emails attached to not real, you know, ages that are, you know what I mean? Because if people want to ride, they're going to do it.
But like, what I don't get is that kids game, right? Like, my kids play Minecraft. Like, there's, what's the, I guess, like, what's the issue? Like, Zwift is just a game. So what's the, what can they not put in place that a gazillion other games?
That's a really good question. I would actually want to know, like, okay, if it's really that big of a deal, tell us. Just tell, to, you know, let us all know what the problem is, and then we'll probably be way more okay with whatever it is that seems to be such a big problem, you know?
Yeah, so I don't know. But it seems strange, because I was like, oh, I'd rather my kids play Zwift than like play, I don't know, what is
Minecraft?
A game? Fortnite.
You're playing Minecraft with them. I mean,
yeah, I know. But like, when they get a bit older, like, I don't know, Fortnite or something, you know, like, I'd probably rather they be on a bike.
Yeah, I mean, with the amount of Roblox and Minecraft or Apex the kids are playing, man, I could have like world-class athletes for sure. We need to definitely get that Zwift setup used a little bit more. Definitely. So, well, that's just, we just picked that up on the forums and just wanted to give attention to that. Maybe if, you know, if people are wondering what's going on, head on over to the forums and look for a little bit of a feedback, because we'd also like to know. The spring training program got announced. I actually saw some reviews of this. It was Jesse Coyle did a review of it, of the, and gave it like a thumbs up or a thumbs down on what he thought of each one of the workouts. The Sweet Spot Foundation, Endurance Escalator, Cadence and Cruise, Power Surge, Endurance Ascent, and the Sweet Spot Summit. I took a look at these today, actually, because I was like, oh, I got to do some base training. And then I like, and I just put in a couple hours of just zone two. And I looked up, I was like, that's not zone two. I was like, this is not what I need to do right now. Not happening. This is not a zone two day. So they are definitely sweet spot and above type efforts, it looks like to me. They're very much like, get the best, because sweet spot is the best use of your time without racing, in a lot of ways, without asking you to do your running for your life threshold or anaerobic type effort.
Yeah, and I think this one's quite interesting too, because I think Zwift, so they've got a printout, so you can print out the spring's training schedule. It's like a PDF.
What do you think of that? What do you think of the printout?
I mean, like, I like that they're trying to capture the people who are going outside and being like, we know you're going outside, but stay with us, please stay with us. So trying to do something there. I might do the workouts. I'm part of that gravel grinder plan at the moment. So that's like 5 rides a week. So I don't think I'll have time. I don't know. I'd be interested in who does this, because
who,
if you
actually prints it out, like, is that what you're
saying? Yeah, and follows it, because like, if you're riding outdoors and you're wanting to do workouts on Zwift, that tells me that you're semi-serious into cycling. Like, you've probably got a goal somewhere, which I just don't think this is specific enough. It's kind of like, do a workout and then do something outdoors, and then, but just like, how much distance do you do? How much time?
The worksheet is like, for your fridge.
Yeah.
I think that might be what it is. Like, you put it on your fridge and you check off that you've like done it and stuff. Like, it's a check, like it's like a, does that make sense? Now, I think that as someone who's coaching athletes, my knowledge of like what they're looking for is like, can it go on my Garmin? You know what I mean? Like, could you put it onto another device that you could then, you know, but then there's all these questions like, can ZWO files, because like, I can't put a ZWO file into an uploadable way onto Training Peaks that I know of. Like, you can put it there, kind of, but it's not like it, like, it's not compatible across. Does that make sense? Like, where you can just easily get your ZWO files into your outdoor riding. But I think you're onto something, though. Like, is there a place where, and I do think that this is about connecting to those who are starting to head outside, and like, is Zwift trying to kind of like evolve into a platform that is, you're always online Zwift. You know what I mean? You're always kind of tracking your workouts with Zwift, and it isn't just your virtual rides.
Yeah, similar to how you can kind of do your Festa 500 on the road or on Zwift, right? Like, you can kind of like gather both. But the thing I find really like, and I don't want to bag it too much because I personally really like the kit unlock, which is kind of the only reason I'd do this, is that it's a really, really cool kit. We'll feature it in the next show. But it says up the front, like, this spring training is a 6-week workout series to help you build endurance for these long outdoor rides. Whether your goal is to lead the pack, train for an upcoming event, or just not get dropped, this will gear you up for the outdoors. There's only one workout a week, and the workouts are like, the long version of the workout is like 45 minutes-ish. Like, unless I'm missing something, like, you're not going to get a whole lot of endurance here in 45 minutes a week. Yeah. I don't understand. Like, it's really like, I can see like my dad doing this.
There could be a suggestion that like you do some zone two on either side of this and then do this in the middle. That would be a really good, right? Like half hour, do this half hour, or like hour, then do this or something. That would be, but that, yeah, you're right. Like, if you don't do, as far as like, well, what is considered endurance too? Like, what, how are these terms? And I would like to know how these terms are fitting within their data sets too. Like, because we might have, like, our brains hold on to different data sets maybe than their. I'm trying to give the benefit of the doubt here that there's a user type that they're going after that they know things about that we necessarily are like thinking, I'm trying to train an athlete for a 2 to 3 hour event or even a 60 minute event. And I'm trying to give them an endurance workout. I'm thinking double time minimum of what their event is, minimum, right? And so even at 1 hour event times, trying to build endurance now and there, but maybe the Zwift, they're like, guys, people just don't ride that long. No matter what we do, we can't get them to ride that long. So this is how we're going to give them endurance, is they're going to keep them in a zone 3 SST / high zone 2 zone 3 space with a little threshold thrown in, because that's kind of what Zwift endurance looks like. Like, that's what the user base. Okay. Like, it's a Zwift endurance. It's the user base endurance versus like our more technical coaching.
No, because it says we're helping you to build endurance for those long outdoor rides. It's not saying for those long Zwift.
I mean, if I'm honest, these are going to build, what these are really going to build is your ability to sit in the pack when they're hammering on the front. Every single one of these are going to do that. Like, it's sweet spot. It's a little bit of threshold mixed in with sweet spot. It's threshold mixed in with speed spot. It's straight sweet spot threshold.
And they're like, short, it's, though. That's short.
Like, they're 40... short. They're short. So that's why I'm saying they're chain gang hold on rides or drill it rides, really. Is what they really
so are. What's kind of what I really feel like Zwift is missing at the moment, maybe that's just, this is might be my like confirmation bias and making myself feel better, but I've been like really loving the Zwift training plans. Like, I'm doing the gravel grinder one at the moment. I log on, I'm like, I've got my workouts listed, like, which workout do you want to do today? I'm like, great, I've got 5 workouts a week. If I do like a TTT or something, I'll just tick off the most similar thing to that TTT and go, I did it, so that I don't, you know, end up doing 10 rides a week. But it's so like user-friendly and simple. Like, I get on, there's the workout I do, the workouts are about an hour to an hour and a half. I do 5 rides a week, and that's like a experienced version of it, I think. So I think, like, honestly, they could have turned the spring training into a training plan that they go, hey, we've got, and maybe they're going to do that. I don't know, but that would be so awesome. Cause one, it's not spring where I am. So it's completely irrelevant. But later when it does come into like spring, I'm like, oh, there's that training plan. It's 3 rides a week. They're about an hour each ride. I can sign on and go and do it like in my own time. I feel a bit disappointed because it's kind of like we've gone from the big spin to this next thing, which I'm like a 45 minute workout a week. Like it's really like just, I don't know. I think they could really lean into their training plans a bit more.
Yeah. You know, that is a space that I would have to agree with you that is struggling right now, to have the, what seems to be, how do I, like, the knowledge base of what it takes to coach athletes. Like, I'm not sure that that's there with what I'm seeing from these, and that it's, and I'm not sure, but look, there's a comment coming through right now live in chat, and Zwift will never grab the endurance crowd. And he's talking like the actual endurance crowd, like endurance competition. That's a whole nother level. Gab Kuz from chat, actually, like I'm backing off, like even 2 steps back, 3 steps back from that even someone who's trying to build endurance for the outdoor group ride, you know, like you just said, hour and a half to 2 hours. There's a lot of workouts that are on Zwift that are legacy workouts. They're a little bit older that seem to have come to it from a time when there wasn't as much of this focus on what will Zwifters do. You know what I mean? Kind of a thing. And how do we capture them in order to get repeatability into this? And so maybe there is a naming misnomer there, and like what the goals are around it that might not necessarily fit with what we understand those goals to be if we're training athletes. Like, and that might be the other thing, is like maybe they're trying to aim this at people who are not necessarily as super serial about cycling as we are, you know?
Like, yeah, but I think then it's almost trying to do everything for all people. Cause I think my parents would be great customers of spring training. Like,
yeah. Yeah, yeah.
A 45 minute workout once a week. Like, yeah, they would totally do that. But because it said like help you build endurance for long outdoor rides, train for an upcoming event, lead the pack, don't get dropped.
This will gear you up for the outdoors. Do just this. That's not happening. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, gotcha. So you can be sold something that you're like, and then you show up and you're like, and you know, I'm totally unprepared. So that's probably what's in the back of your head, is like, this isn't going to prepare someone for what this was said there.
So it's not going to prepare people for what they said. And then the people who probably would do it, cause it's quite well achievable, probably aren't going out and riding endurance events outdoors anyway. They're just like, I just want to keep fit. So I feel like it's kind of a program that has just kind of missed the mark a little. It's tried to satisfy both, and I think will end up satisfying neither.
Yeah, gotcha.
But the kit's cool. I'll give it that.
Now, I will say that I would kind of throw these together, like, you know, into, if I wanted to do some sweet spot work, like I would definitely throw this in the middle of a workout, right? Like, no, but you have to have the knowledge to do that, right? You have to like have the know-how that like, hey, Sweet Spot Foundation seems like a really good workout. And I might be like to an athlete who I'm trying to build up their zone 3 or their, you know, a little bit and get them slightly into their threshold training. I would give them some base, some zone 2 up front, and then be like, go do one of these. Cause it's a nice little way to cap off the workout or something like that, but it's an add-on. And so yes, the comms there are definitely, I'd have to agree with you on that. I would. The workouts in and of themselves are not bad workouts though. In and of themselves, stand alone, they're great workouts, actually, just stand alone for their what they get done in the time frames.
Yeah, and I guess it'll get added to the workout library, which sometimes I use. I'm like, oh, I've got 45 minutes today, and you do that search, right? Search for 45 minutes, easy, and likely the cadence and cruise will pop up. So I think it's great that they'll be added to the library. But yeah, I'm kind of just surprised it's a whole like workout series event thing. Yeah, gotcha. But interesting. I'll be really interested to see what the numbers are like for it.
Women's racing series number 4 has been announced. After a long hiatus, the Zwift women's racing series returning in the next round of 8 races has just been announced. We actually saw this last year. Gabby did like a ton of these actually and got really involved in it. She absolutely loved it. They're short though, it looks like. Interesting.
They're hard.
But yeah, tell me about this. Tell me what you're thinking.
Okay, I'm pretty excited for this, to be honest. We've got Team Riot's going to show up because why the hell not? And my surgery's been...
Oh, I'm sorry. Not short. I just was looking at the time trial.
Yeah. They're not short. Okay. Yeah. So and I think my surgery is going to be like delayed. So I think I might be able to do the whole series, which would be great. Yeah, it's 8 weeks. There's 3 different time slots. So, or 4 different time slots. 8:30... AM, that's kind of 8:30 AM UTC, 4:30 AM EDT, 1:30 AM PDT. Oh, I shouldn't read them all out like that. I'll go UTC, 8:30 AM UTC, 5:30 PM UTC, 10:30 PM UTC, and 1:30 AM UTC. So lots of different time zones to work with. I've entered 2 time zones because I'm like, oh, I could do a race in the morning and then jump on and try it again. It's 8 weeks and then it's a really cool format. There's a whole lot of different structures here. So it starts off with a time trial, which is on Tempest Fugit. Then it's week 2 is a scratch race on that Ocean Lava Cliffside Loop, which is awesome. Then it goes into a scratch race on Watopia Jurassic Coast, which is cool, like new courses we had. Then it's like the really hard one, which I'm like, oh, this would be brutal. The scratch race on Watopia's Mountain Mash. Remember in Zwift Games that climb one, and then the C's and D's did that. So basically just like 6K straight up epic. Week 5 is sprinters, and that's now going into like points. Then Watopia Hilly points, Scotland's Muckleyang points, and then it finishes off with a time trial on good old Bologna. So yeah, it's good. And it's a serious competition. So your best result each week earns you a certain number of points, and your best 6 weekly results will be used. So you could basically drop 2 races for your overall ranking. So you can miss 2 weeks or have an off week.
And you can do any though throughout the day. It's not like it's not like tiny races where they're going to match up like the early and then the midday and the late day. It's just your best 6 across all of the opportunities to do the stage. Yeah. Okay. Got it.
Which is handy because I was kind of like, oh, well just, you could just do one of the races where there's not many people, but it's not on your finishing position. It's on the fastest course time, which has its own issues because when you do it on either way, there'll be an issue. Because if you do it on finishing position, you just go for a smaller field and you'll have a better finishing position.
Well, it looks position. Like it changes. But though. If you wait, it looks like it changes per thing.
Yeah. So the points one, yeah, I'll go through first though. So fastest course time though. Oh, actually, no, sorry, you're right. Yes. Fastest course is only for the time trials.
The time trial.
And then it's finishing position.
Finishing position until you hit the points races. Then there's fastest segment times plus finishing position decides winner.
Yes, that would be it.
So it starts getting a little bit more complicated for those points races.
Yeah, this is and it's going to be interesting.
So then it decides
I might look through the rules.
Winner,
yeah.
And then like in when you do a WTRL ZRL points race, you add it all up at the end and then there's a point structure that's decided at the end of it. So, and it's going to be a points competition overall. So it's going to get later on, you're going to start looking at some tactics, I think, playing out if people start getting really serious. And also maybe some sniping of when there's more or less riders involved in some of the races. So,
yeah, and I just wonder if they're going to do overall series rankings per time zone or overall series rankings over all time zones. You'd almost hope by time zone because then that would take away the issue of smaller fields and certain races. But anyway, I think the series is going to be awesome. 8 races, that's going to keep some women Zwifting away all up until the last kind of week of June. So it's a good 2 months of racing there. So yeah, it's great.
April 30th, it starts week one. So through May 4th, and we got May 7th. Is it through or is it those just 2 days? Is that, I'm sorry if I'm reading this incorrectly. So race happens,
I think it's
Tuesdays,
supposed to be
Tuesday,
April 30 to May 4. I'm not quite sure what those two dates in there mean, but
yeah,
it's just the first one starts April 30, next one May 7, next one May 14. So yeah, it's every week, right?
Gotcha. Maybe we're going to have to throw this on the schedule. I mean, it's just announced, but, we love to cover the women's racing. So maybe we hype it up a little bit, get some coverage. We'll see what we can do about that leading into this. So really cool. I'm liking the courses. That Mountain Mash, I've been excited about that course specifically because it's that right in between. It's like, I don't know. I think that course would also be a good course for like an epic race where like you're trying to find the climbers and you add that Mountain Mash and the Volcano KOM, but then there's also like some long, finishing straights or something that leave it open for some sprinters to get involved that they can hang on over the top or something,
It's like, how do you, I look at it. So you basically, you come out of the start pins.
Over by the jungle, and you go left. It's the only one that goes left right away.
Yeah. And then go up.
Straight up, watch out for your mouth. It's not the full climb. You cut off that really steep initial start.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's actually a shorter climb than the usual Watopia Mountain reverse.
I know, but only 6K. So I feel like you've got no lead in to kind of just warm into it.
No.
You're just like,
you
gotta warm
up. It's mountain bike race. Mountain bike, cyclocross, go. Bam. Go do your warm up first.
You're off.
Come on.
Oh my God. I'm not good at warming up, but it'll be fun. And yeah, I just like the number of new courses because it's quite fun racing on a new course because people don't really know what they're doing. So you get to have a bit more fun.
All right, let's jump on over to this whole thing about the Super Tri eWorld Triathlon Championship powered by Zwift. I'm not surprised to do this again. Those streams get a good amount of viewership and they do a really good job of taking the in real life pros. And I got to say, what's going on in triathlon? And I got to ask you, like, the personalities in triathlon feel more like TV and movie stars than the personalities in, you know what? This isn't a slight, okay? Don't take this as a slight.
Okay.
It's much more of a general population participation thing going on in triathlon than there is in road cycling, right? Like it's way, do your triathlon. Like everybody's like, have you done a triathlon? I'm going to try doing an Ironman. Oh, I'm going to do a half or I'm going to try a sprint and see how it goes. And I know a lot more general fit people who are like, I'm going to try a triathlon and they feel like there's more accessibility. Whereas road cycling does not do a very good job of being very inviting and has this total, like, you don't know. You don't know us. You know what I mean? They have this like elbows out. You're not, there is a cycling mafia, like an entry point in, you know what I mean? Whereas triathlon is way more, and also it's a solo thing where you don't have to learn to ride in a pack. Like you can just, there isn't as much of a learning curve in that respect. Not even close to as much of a learning curve. Sorry. But like, and so I feel like you get more of this. You do have superstardom in cycling that has almost like idol worship, honestly, in some ways. But in triathlon, I feel like there's more, it feels, the ethos of it, the feeling of it feels more like a Hollywood star rather than the pro cycling idol worship thing that happens. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Absolutely. And I've got an idea about this. And I said pretty sure I wasn't going to get into like the World Federation sides of things, but I think in this it makes sense. So I was talking about my husband with it. I was like, it is kind of interesting in triathlon. There's like not this traditional feel, or there's a real like this e-tri. Like, I'm not surprised so many people tune in and watch, and everyone's just like, cool, something new. This is amazing. Like, embrace it and wow. And the huge athletes come and do it. So we look at UCI Esport World Championships that we've had. like there might be a couple, like definitely Lois Adegeest, and maybe a couple, but you wouldn't be like, oh my gosh, there's Lotta Kopecky. Oh my gosh, there's Mitchie Van Der Poel and Wout van Aert. Like, whereas the e-triathlon has literally got gold medalists from the Olympics, has got world ranked numbers 1 to 20 racing. Like, it is so, it's the elite of the elite triathletes on there, right? And I think part of this is like, World Triathlon was founded in 1989. And if you compare that to World Rowing was 1892, UCI was 1900, FIFA was 1904, and even canoe racing was 1946. Like, it is such a, like, relatively speaking, new sport. And I think it kind of has taken that newness all the way through its ethos. And it's all about kind of innovation and getting people involved. And it doesn't have that sort of, like, it doesn't have the tradition, which is quite cool of other federations, but it's also got the, yeah, the smiles and the, come on in, like, this is amazing and give it a try. So that's probably maybe where you get
marketed,
like, a bit of that vibe
in the modern era, like, as a new thing too. Like, there's that yep. side of it, right? And like, get as many people involved as we possibly can without any of this, like, old guard rules of what the sport is, the kind of holding things back a little bit. That's a good take, maybe, in some ways. They did just schedule the stream. If you do want to watch it, April 13th, they're going live in 2 days, 12:30 p.m. my time on April 13th. That's Central, it looks like. So, and I was actually just looking at the past streams just a moment ago. And the past streams, the live finals, if you go to their thing here, if you go to this, I mean, 191K, 183K. Mm. 168K. I mean, good branding on it too. I'm going to go ahead and click through here. And they do this in an arena, like an actual arena, and then swim. They do the swim and then they run over to their treadmills and run it out here. Then they jump on the bikes and they're on Zwift. They're also on Zwift on the road.
Look at that too, production. Look at that really production, good. By the
but
way.
It's all, like, in one arena though. It's in one arena. So that does make...
Oh, but the numbers, just even the numbers on the screen, like when they've got the people on that, on the bike course, it's like what we've just started to see on Zwift Games, like the real cameras on. And I know they're actually sitting there, but yeah, I thought it, the production quality is really high.
It's really good. It is actually really good. It is.
Yeah, it's pretty good. So I'm
there's also like the arena sense to it. Like, there is a little bit of a Coliseum thing going on here, right? There's a little bit of like, you're watching three different things happen and it's kind of wild. You know what I mean? They're jumping in a pool, then they're running over to this thing and they're running their hearts out, and then they're jumping on a bike. And it's like, it's kind of got that Ninja Warrior feel a little bit to it, you know? But they're all against
absolutely.
Each other. Yeah. So, yeah.
So this is interesting. Oh my God. So sorry. I was trying to look something up. So what did you say the views on that were? About 200,000?
Yeah, a little under 200,000. Yeah.
180,000? The 2023 UCI Cycling Esport World Championship, 100,000 views.
Really?
On the Zwift channel. Yeah.
That's pretty good. That's in its first couple of years. Like, that's pretty good. Honestly.
But interesting that why does the triathlon event have more? Quite interesting there.
Well,
I would not
it's
have
older.
Like, expected
it's older.
That.
It's older. It has a following. Like, there's way more people in the triathlon. That's okay. That's pretty good. Like, I'm a little like, whoa, okay, that's not bad. Like, comparative, if you're going to do the comparison there, plus production, like you just said, and everything, I'm kind of like, whoa, did somebody like throw that into a marketing campaign somewhere? Because wow, that really, like, okay. It's not like the other one wouldn't be marketed, you know what I mean? Triathlon Super Tri is marketing that stuff. So I don't know, like, I thought you were gonna say 10,000 or 20,000.
Oh, okay.
So like,
no,
I don't know, like, still it is definitely bigger in that sense, but that's to be expected with the demographic. And esports is young in a lot of ways, and like triathlon and the grabbing on of it. And there's, like you said, there's more, for some reason, there's just more crossover happening. Whereas like even though Zwift is very much a household name in a lot of ways and brand within the cycling world right now, with coming in and throwing that support out there into it, I don't feel like it's as, like, because of the general fitness crew being so triathlon oriented, I feel like there's so many triathletes who are just very accepting of, like, I have a day job and I need to ride and I'm going to go. Whereas, like, the pro cycling field might not be as, like, you're not actually us. You know what I mean? Like, yes, you're kind of a thing that's around here, but I don't know if you're actually us still. You know what I mean? I get that sense.
So the other interesting part about this is they've partnered. So they've always had Garmin as a key partner, but now they're like a real, like, significant partner in this. And they're bringing all this technology, which I also think is really interesting. So as soon as, and this is where it gets a bit of the, like, fight, like, style to it. You know how they walk in with, like, so they've got to walk in and stand.
It's WWE, WWF.
WWF, there we go. They've got to step on an Index S2 smart scale. So some kind of Garmin weighing device, and then that gets transferred to Zwift somehow. And then during the race, they're all going to have these, like, Pro Plus premium heart rate monitors, and they're going to have data coming through at all times during swimming, biking, and running. And it'll help fans understand the efforts of their heroes for what it takes. I was like, that's quite, like, triathletes, I've got to say, like, love data. Like,
yeah. I've noticed that too. I noticed that the desire for the data in, specifically when watching the, because I watched these in the past, and, like, the chat flips out when there's data. Like, just totally is like,
Yeah, like, it's crazy. And so, yeah, that's quite interesting too. So pairing with, like, not a smart trainer company, but, like, a device company. Interesting one. Yeah, there we go. But tune in, because it's quite...
I think they like the inside look to the athletes, like you were saying, though. I think that's the big one right there, is getting those inside looks. People stalk Stravas for that stuff, man.
Like, oh, yeah.
They really do. So there's a whole... Yeah, there's a whole... media package specifically around that, just when it comes to, can you get a hold of the pros data? I would wonder. data, what are we saying here? Yeah, like, I'm saying
data.
I know I'm saying museum right now. I'm like, but it's like, yay! It's like sitting in the back of my throat, like, ready to go, and I'm like, data, like, I'm like it doesn't want to go all the way, you know, that, like, hesitation, because you're changing the way I speak. Oh man. Okay, let's go ahead and head into our garage picks, though. Pretty cool. Watch that. I'll be hanging out in the stream to check it out this weekend as well. But our garage pick / jersey of the week, how did you pronounce this? Help me out again.
Well, Le Beret is the hat, and Le Tournesol, I'm guessing, the jersey, which means
Tournesol.
I probably got that. I probably hatcheted that, but it means the sunflower. Now, you remember when we looked at the big spin at the very beginning to what these unlocks were for each world, and I was like, this is the worst. It looks so bad, but I have actually been wearing it just because it, like, it does look really bad, but it's almost iconic because of how it looks. Like, pairing the, like, Monet-style sunflowers with a beret, I think it looks kind of cool, actually. So I'll give you the jersey.
The beret is just too – that's just too red for me. I don't know. There's something about the way it looks, and, like, I don't even feel like it's fully written. I don't know why, but it looks like the curves on it are weird too. So, like, I don't know. That beret for me is just, like, a no-go, like, big no-go. But I do like the jersey. And the jersey is the only one of its kind when it comes to those specific colors in Zwift that I know of that you could match with something that's kind of yellowish green like that. There isn't anything else in game that I know of that hits that color scheme that you could match to other things in game, actually. So I think it's a good one for matching other accessories that you want to match with that color scheme specifically. I got to give you the Monet thing there too. And just, yeah, it's got that. If you want the France feel and you're riding around in France specifically, it with all those sunflowers, it's a good match. So what are you giving it on a scale 1 to 10?
Oh, it's a really hard scale here. So I've got to kind of go, like, I still think it looks terrible, and I would wear it on our bad jersey podcast ride, but it's so terrible, it's iconic.
I get it.
So then I've got to, yeah, you get what I'm meaning, eh? So like, it looks like about a 2 out of 10 for me, but because of that, I'll give it like a 9 out of 10 for icon.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just going to give it a straight 5.5. It's middle of the road, like a little better than middle of the road. The beret is like a point. I don't know. See, now, wait, you've just done that to me with the beret where it's so bad that it's good now. Like, but I can't even put it on. It's like, no, it's bad. It's ugly. I'm sorry. I don't even want to use that language, but I can't handle the beret. I really can't. Now, I like the New York cap. I like, you know, the headphones. They're all really great. That beret is just rah. I don't like it. Yeah.
So my teammates, I'm wearing the headphones, and my teammates, while we were racing yesterday, were like, those headphones just make me think you don't want to listen to us. I'm like, it's so true. Like, if you're like riding around with headphones on, you're like, just don't
actually
talk to me.
Totally. It does actually make you feel like the person who's got them on is like, leave me alone. I'm listening to music.
Yeah, right. Like, so
mention on style and in-game gear. First spotting of the Goldtron, Neil Freyet racing in the Americas broadcast. We actually saw that. It was pretty cool to see, actually. First time that I caught it, actually, in one of our broadcasts with the Golden Tron.
Oh my gosh, yes, the Golden Tron. Golden Tron. I totally forgot to mention that.
Yeah, so he grabbed the Golden Tron in race number 2. Yeah.
Now that, when you zoomed in on that, it just looked magnificent. Like, so good.
Yeah, it did. It was really, really good. And this is where these little things, when it comes to gaining those kind of artifacts in game, you know?
Yeah. So good.
The badge idea, there is a status thing to play on there for sure.
Like, absolutely. Especially when it's that hard to get, you know, like, because if there were 3 different winners in Zwift Games, there'll be six Trons out there. Six. Yeah. And
there's
in the
less
women's
than that
race,
because Catherine Furrer like owns like all of them except for Illy Gardner.
I know, right? And so that's like, yeah, it is. Yeah, when you went in on it, and it's also that kind of thing that I felt really great watching it. That I was like, I know that, but just the regular watcher may not know that.
Yeah,
you know, totally. Like, I'm invested. Yeah, it was cool. I agree.
Yeah, Kevin Osborne's coming in with some chat saying that he likes the beret and it's replaced the bucket hat. So it looks like we are at very opposite fashion calls, myself and Kevin. Kevin's always awesome to see him hanging out, actually. He's been doing the Z racing. He actually did that Glasgow, I believe, race on Monday. He shows up for a lot of them. So great to see you in chat, Kevin. Well, that's going to be it for us. What are you up to for the next week, Hannah?
I'm excited. Tomorrow, I've got 2 brand new TTTers who have joined Riot, who do not race, who are now going to try racing, come and do the TTT tomorrow. One of them's someone I gravel ride with, and the other is an athlete I coach. And so we're going to do, it's 2 laps of something, but we're going to do 1 lap of just kind of taking everyone through the ropes of what a TTT is, and then do the 2nd lap, adding a bit of power. But yeah, it's going to be fun introducing some new people to something that I really like doing. And it's motivating me to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning on a Friday. So
wow.
Yeah. Yeah. But we're like different ends of the spectrum. I cannot believe you're up at midnight.
Yeah, we are.
But
I'm a night owl.
5 a.m. is right
for
me.
You're an early bird. You like the mornings. That's cool. The introduction. I don't know how that goes. I'm going to definitely ask about that next week to see like what the impression is of TTT and virtually doing that. Because I remember you talking about getting your buddies into this and going and doing this. Yeah. You had talked about this invitation happening. Now it's happening. And
we'll see how it goes.
The TTT is its own thing, like its own tactical. Mm. We talk about it so often, and like how quickly they're like, oh, yeah, I got this, or wait, I'm all over the map. You know what I mean? Like how that's going to play out.
Yeah. So we'll see how it goes. And I'll be, I didn't touch on this earlier, but I'm trialing the Wahoo kicker bike shift. And so I'll be using that tomorrow. I used it in ZRL yesterday, and I'm going to use it tomorrow in the TTT, see how it goes. Try a workout over the weekend, but I have to say I'm not sold on it.
Well, let's give it another week and see. We'll do a full dive into the what you think about the bike. That'll be an interesting one next week.
It's quiet. I'll give it that. It's unbelievably quiet.
All right.
But I'll talk about, we'll do a segment next week.
That's a good little teaser. That's a good little teaser for next week's segment on Anna's tests of the Kicker Shift bike. Be cool to hear. Definitely. What am I up to? I'm going to be doing a lot of base training. We're getting outside finally. It's getting warm here. So I think Sunday, maybe a big outdoor ride with the Gabs. Besides that, I'll probably find some sort of a race to do on Saturday on Zwift. And I'm just doing a lot of these GG Zone 2, we call them. They're Gabby's Zone 2 rides that she rides up a lot of times. So I've been doing a lot of that and just making sure. And then we're lifting like crazy. So I think we're hitting up the gym tomorrow. So that's about it for us. If you didn't know and you're just tuning in, we've been live on Twitch, Facebook, YouTube, and X. And this podcast is a podcast you can download as well. The audio version will be available sometime in the next 24 to 48 hours on ZwiftCommunityLive.com/podcast or search up anywhere you download your podcasts, The Wrap and Zwift. For Man and I, this has been episode number 90. We'll see you next week for episode 91. As always, from the both of us, ride on.